Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for July 8th. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me in very warm Tokyo is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud? Keeping cool?
Oh, yeah, now I got the air conditioning going full blast. I got my sweater on, you know. what do you mean warm? It's comfortable, babe.
Hey, man, I got up this morning and left the house before 7 to do a run, and it was already 30 degrees, and I didn't realize it. It was cooking out there, man.
You better do a little Fahrenheit for our overseas listeners.
It's 30 degrees centigrade. I don't know what that is. 81, 88?
88 or something.
Okay.
It's 80 maybe.
It doesn't feel hot, but once you get out there and start running, you realize that you have no strength after about 4 kilometers and you want to stop.
Yeah, that was sapping today. I was out in the sun all day.
Yeah, you look a little tan.
I got a little red in the face, probably, even though I had my Panama hat on all day. So,
all right.
So much for that.
All right. Well, it was a warm day all around Tokyo, but we got a hot show for you. We've got an interview with Alex Ramirez of the Yokohama Bay Stars. We're going to discuss the All-Star teams. We're going to discuss the batting races and the home run chase and all that stuff. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, the season is about halfway through, but if you live in the United States and would like to see the CL pennant race play out in the second half, go to oneworldsports.com and find out how to watch Giants games live. All right, so I went out to Tokyo Dome on Friday on my day off and got to talk to Alex Ramirez. And, wow, you know, it had been a while since I talked to him. I interviewed him after he got those 2,000 hits, and maybe I cursed him because he hasn't really been playing since then.
That happens with you, doesn't it? You
know, once in a while.
Hey, he talked to that guy over there. Put him on the bench. Send him down to the farm team.
No, just
whatever.
Watch.
Get rid of him. Get him out of here.
Watch and see how his numbers go down, or how quickly they go down. Anyway, yeah, April 6th was the day he got his 2,000th hit and joined the Golden Players Club, but he's really been sitting next to the manager since then and working on his, or I guess maybe he's developing his coaching skills. I don't know. He's only had about 5 at-bats over the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not what I expected.
He lasted a couple of weeks more in the lineup base, and then that was that. Damn.
Yeah, he didn't even get a chance to play on Sunday at Tokyo Dome in a close game where you'd think they'd have a pinch hitter come up. And in the ninth inning, they mounted a little bit of a rally, but it was the wrong part of the lineup to pinch hit.
You're talking about Sunday. Why didn't you see Sunday's game? I was out in the blazing hot sun forgetting about baseball.
Forgetting about baseball. No, I saw your pictures, though. I knew that you were out walking.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, for Remy, he's 38. He's going on 39 in October. I mean, time is wasted for him. I guess he could kind of feel honored because a lot of times these Japanese players at the end of their careers stick around and they become pinch hitters and, you know, they earn a living on the first team and they hardly ever get sent down to the farm. And
it's like they promoted him to bench coach.
Right. And for imports though, they usually just shoot him down to the farm and it's a step away from getting rid of him. So I guess he should feel fortunate and honored because, he's getting a chance to play.
Take batting practice with the team.
Yeah, that's about it. They're not giving him the boot. They're keeping him around. I guess they maybe want him for something.
I think they're trying to avoid bad PR, that, you know, sending him down when he's not hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he'll develop any kind of an injury, but
Never know. You know, a lot of managers get hurt, you know, in the middle of bad seasons, and they need to take a recuperation rest.
Yes, like the former manager a few years back. Yeah, remember that. So anyway, we had a good chat, so let's go ahead and take a listen to it.
All right, it's always an honor to have Alex Ramirez on the show. We thank you for coming on with us. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, so now I expected this team to compete, you know, at least for third place, and, you know, the CL is kind of close still. What is the key as you guys go forward trying to get to that third place or at least higher in the CL?
Well, I strongly believe that, we got a pretty good team, but of course, we got to be able to put it together. You know, the pitching staff, when the pitching staff is doing good, the hitters, we're not producing, and then when we're producing, the pitching staff is not doing as well. So, for us to be able to, stay in the game, we have to keep it together. And that way we're going to be able to compete better.
So you mentioned the pitching first, and I look at the staff, and it looks like you guys have like three guys who are pretty steady, and then the rest of the time you're not really sure what you're going to get.
Yeah, basically for the last a month and a half, it's been like that. We only have three starting pitchers, and the rest of the guys are up and down guys, which they're trying their best and things like that. But like I said, that for us the key is to be able to have at least five starting pitchers that can stay for at least a month or a month and a half in the starting rotation. And then if we can do that, then our hitters are going to be able to produce more and help the team to win.
I think so. All right. Now, you told me defense was one of the reasons that you might want to play in the Pacific League at some point, but you haven't been playing very much recently. Have they told you why?
No. They haven't told me why. I haven't started in left field for a little bit over 2 months. And, it just started with, get a day off. And then, the next day, we got another day off tomorrow, so take some rest. And then it's been 2 months. It's been like that. But, that's part of the game. Stay professional and ready to play whenever they put me into the game. I just go there and do my best. So I feel in a very good shape right now and just waiting for the opportunity.
Yeah, I've seen you put some good at-bats together in pinch hit situations. You don't always come up with a hit, but you get the bat on the ball, and you've had some good at-bats.
Yes, I try whatever I can. I just go there, in a very positive way and try to do my job. But of course, for 13 years I was an everyday player, and it's kind of hard to just go there and pinch hit, get one on a bat, and things like that. For people who understands the game of baseball, that's not an easy thing to do. But of course, that's part of my job now, so I'm just, trying to do my best, and, every time I get the opportunity.
Okay. Now, your name came up in a trade to, I guess, at least one Pacific League team, maybe two. Can you tell me what you heard about it and how much you know about it and how much you played a role in it?
Well, they talked to me about Chivalote Marines, that they were interested in me and things like that. I strongly believe that, the Pacific League will be a very good for me because I can play DH. It's not that I cannot play outfield. I think that I can still play outfield, but, I prefer to play DH. And I think it will be a great opportunity. And for me to know that there is another team out there interested in me, that's a blessing, and I feel very happy about that. So other than that, I haven't heard anything about it.
Do you think your salary, because I know you make a lot of money, do you think that played a role in maybe them backing off or something?
Maybe that have to do with a lot of things that it depends. This team is still owe me a lot of money, and I don't think they're gonna get what this team probably is gonna ask for. And on top of that, it's only 3 months left for the season, and they can probably go out there and get another guy cheaper, so I think it's just a hard situation right now. But in the meantime, I'm just here trying to stay in a good shape and let God control those things. Those are things that you cannot control, and I just stay faithful to God, and I know He has good plans for me.
Okay, now you guys, a no hitter was throwing at you guys last week. Now, what could you see from the bench, and then how did your at-bat go when you had the at-bat in the ninth inning?
Well, he was pitching a really good right from the beginning. He had a plan he was using, and that's what happened when you have a plan and you put it into the game. You get good results. And, we did the best we can, the best we could, and that happens. That's part of the game. You know, sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't. I'm happy for him. He threw a no-hitter. Not too many people can do something like that. And you know, we tried our best. And so Oscar is some other stuff for him.
Now tell me about your bat in the ninth inning, because you got the bat on the ball. You did a really good job. I thought it was going to be a hit.
Yeah. Well, you know, before I went to hit, I was thinking I don't want to get a single. I'm not going to go to home plate, try to break the no-hitter with a single. I'm going to try to hit a home run. And that's how good I feel right now, home plate, that I have that feeling, that I'm going to hit a home run. So, you know, when I hit the ball, I thought the ball was going to at least hit the wall, but, you know, and then I realized I hit it at the end. So, you know, but it was a good, very good feeling, you know, the whole thing. And it just happened to be, you know. So, hey, he threw a no-hitter. Hey, you know, I'm happy, you know. I mean, I got my bat, I couldn't do it, but, you know, everything is good.
Yeah, okay. Now, how have you helped the guys on the team hitting? Because I know you got a lot of new guys, you got some young guys. I'm sure you're helping them with the hitting aspects of the game.
You know, a lot of things, a lot of people would think that, you know, Rami's there, you know, he can talk to some of the players and help some of the players and things like that. But, you know, it's a little bit different here with this organization. You know, when I was with the Giants, I was able to help a lot of the young players. And, you know, the manager, Harasan, and the coaching staff, they allow me to do those things. You know, here, because our coaching staff is new coaching staff, they want to do their job, and they want to help and things like that. So it's kind of a little bit hard for me to talk to the young players. So, you know, the Gaiku Gujin players, you know, I talk to them and things like that. But of course, you know, it's not what you can teach. Anybody can talk. It's about the player. It's about if the player really listen and puts that into the game or not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that the guys we have, they're very good players, and they're showing that they're producing. They're showing, you know, good numbers. So I think that I don't really need to really talk to them too much. I have been talking to Morgan for, you know, a little bit of time now, and he really listened to me. He puts it into the game, and
yeah, we're seeing that now.
And
yeah,
I think it's really helping him a lot. And I wish I tried to tell him that, you know, he need to keep it within his game. You know, don't overdo things, because he's not a guy that is gonna hit, you know, 20, 30 home runs, but he's a guy that can hit 300. You know, maybe hit, you know, right now maybe 10 home runs this year, and score a lot of runs and, you know, bunt and things like that. And that's the kind of player he is. Mm. You know, and entertain people, you know. So, I mean, he's putting that into the game, and he's having a great time. And so he's showing that he's a good student, you know. So I'm very happy about that.
Okay. And the last question, how's the Ramichand Cafe going?
Ramichand Cafe has been going pretty good. I'm really happy, and I want to say thank you to all the people who are showing all the support to us. And, you know, my wife has been really, really happy lately. You know, a lot of people come eat her food, and because as everybody knows, she's the main chef right now there, and she's whatever the people eat there is her food, and that's what I eat. I used to eat every day at home, so
now used to. What do you
I
mean?
Eat because I don't eat it at home now. I have to go to the cafe now to eat it. My wife is not in my place cooking for me anymore. I have to go to the cafe, eat it, and I also have to pay.
You have to pay?
I have to pay.
Oh,
she
beautiful.
Makes me pay. But anyway, it's been good, and, you know, we really want to say thank you for all the support that we've been getting to all the people, and it's just, you know, please, you know, keep coming, and it's a great feeling. It's like you're in Japan, and when you go to Ramichand Cafe, it feels like you're in a tropical place in Puerto Rico, but you don't have to pay for airplane ticket or anything like that to leave Japan, and you can just be there and have that, you know, imagination. So it's a great place to go.
All right. Well, Jim and I want to record a podcast there. So
please.
All right.
Please
all right.
Do. Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for the time.
No problem.
All right. Thank you very much, Alex. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And wow, your wife, that just sounds like a woman who knows how to keep the receipts and making them pay, making them pay for the food.
Making them pay. Well, you know, there's no such thing. We know now that there is no such thing as a free lunch.
Yep.
Or a free dinner for that matter.
Yep. So, what really stood out for you in the interview?
Oh, you mean other than home economics?
Home economics. That's not 101, baby. That's 201 right there.
Yeah, I think this is a advanced course.
Yeah.
Buy your wife get your wife a restaurant, then have her charge you for the food.
And you have to go down. Yeah, bring some leftovers back home so he doesn't have to make the trip down to the place, huh?
Well, nah, she's a sweetheart, so I ain't got nothing bad to say. I'm sure it's,
all right, I'll say it for you. Bring the man some leftovers.
But the food there is outstanding, and I'll tell you, I couldn't listen to that show without thinking, where are my tostones? So go down there and have the tostones.
All right.
Okay.
So I do.
Well, thank you, Alex, and thanks again for your hospitality all the time. We spoke the day before on Thursday at Yokohama Stadium and got some great stuff from him and Niger Morgan. In they were sitting in the media dining room and, you know, being happy with all the Japanese media while the Japanese players sort of hid back in the players' dining room. Well, I guess, you know, where they're supposed to be, I suppose.
They were grubbing in the commons.
They were indeed. They were slumming it. They were kicking back and having a good time. And Niger was eating his ramen, and Ramichan was dispensing wisdom. You know, and it was quite fascinating, actually.
Okay.
So, anyway, what did I think about the story? Now, you know, first of all, you know, Alex may not be on the All-Star team, but buddy, that was an All-Star interview. That was first rate. I really enjoyed it. You know, let me just say that. Not like I'm trying to butter up John Gibson or anything, but that was pretty smooth.
Good. Okay. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Okay, that was a little extra butter. Okay, take some of that off the end. Okay. No more bread for you, dude. Okay. Now, that was bad. Last year, Alex was talking about his work with Yoshitomo Tsutsugo. And now, it's like a year later, don't feed the kids. Don't touch the kids.
Yeah,
he's like on the, like they got a court order. No talking to the players.
A restraining order, yeah. It's weird.
It is weird. So that's one thing. And here's another thing. At first, you know, we talked about this a couple of times, and I've been to a couple of Bay Stars games in the meantime since Alex's 2000th hit. I've seen him pinch hit. Haven't seen him play in the field. And at that time, there was a talk going around. Kenjiro Matsumoto, it was like Remy had been taken out of left field. Remy-chan was out of left field. And they were talking about how good the outfield was. How they had so many good outfielders. You know, Kenjiro Matsumoto had some big games. Tatsuhiko Kinjo had some big games.
Yep.
And they brought up Shotaro Ide, and what Shotaro Ide is, as a player I always liked, he had a couple of big games. Okay. Now here's what's going on. First of all, there's two things going on. The first impression of this, my first impression at that time was everybody was playing well. Well, when you really look at it, you realize that ain't the truth. Everybody got hot at some brief point in time, and then they were told to play left field. And then they played like normal. So it's not like they've actually found any solutions. Left field has been a pit.
Yeah.
So basically, after he came out of the lineup on April 25th, was the day he got some rest. And I guess he's still tired.
He didn't sound tired to me.
Yeah, the manager must think he's tired.
He must look tired.
He must be tired. The Bay Stars must be tired of something about Alex Ramirez because they keep trying to give him more rest. Well, anyway, since April 26th, the Bay Stars, starting left fielders have a .222 batting average and a .614 OPS.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's pretty bad, but before, and this is, I guess, the reason why Alex Ramirez was given some rest, is that he was batting 231 with a 555 OPS, which is, you know, what you want for your backup shortstop.
Yeah.
So
he spends most of his time on the farm.
Right. And who plays defense.
Right.
And Alex Ramirez ain't in there for his glove.
Right.
Now, anyway, so he was a DH and a pinch hitter since then. So it wasn't a big thing. But the question is, now who do you want instead? Okay, now on the 26th, they put in Shotaro Ide, as I said, and he was a minor leaguer of some promise who never got a chance with the Hawks, was traded for Teruaki Yoshikawa a couple mm-hmm. years ago,
mm-hmm.
who's now back with the Bay Stars and blowing games a little bit, but not being a disaster. Anyway, so Ide was a guy who had a promise, but he just never got the playing time at the first team he needed to make the jump.
Right.
Okay, and he ain't going to get it now. He's 29 now. He's got no future right now. Okay, he got 12 games to prove that he had no future. And then it was Hitoshi Tomura's turn, who was given a try, you know, who was given a start, and he went 3-for-3 in his first game.
Yeah, I remember he just got hot, and they just left him in until he cooled off.
Exactly.
Which he did.
He started 18 games, and when his average got to 250, they sent him back to the pot at the bottom. You know, they just sent him to the discard pile. You know, right. See where Alex Ramirez is? That's where you're going to be playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they gave the job to Kenjiro Matsumoto, who had a good job, who played quite well in center and right earlier in the season. And as soon as he started playing left field, maybe it's left field that's the problem. It's not the players, but it's sucking the batting average out of the Bay Stars.
All right, we'll just swing him over towards center. That'll help.
Exactly. They should shift him a little
bit. Just shade towards center field and you won't have a problem.
because everybody out there, their offense is dying. It's the mystery spot. Anyway, so Matsumoto's average died, so they tried Tomura again and blah, blah, blah. They're just going all around. Now, here's what we have. The Bay Stars have to choose from. They have all these guys. Now, Alex Ramirez, if you give him a bat and you tell him to play and you say, just stay in there and hit, he's going to hit somewhere in the average, in the area of 300. He might hit 280. He might hit 290. He might hit 310.
Right.
This is Yokohama we're talking about, not Sapporo Dome. No walks, no defense, decent power, but anyway, more than they're getting from any of these other guys. Now, if Tomura is healthy, which is a big if always, he's probably better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say Tomura is a better player than 300 with some power and no walks and no defense.
Yeah.
If he's healthy.
But I don't think he can stay healthy, and I don't think he can play defense like we remember.
Well, my memory's pretty bad, so nobody can play defense the way I remember.
Come on, you can't sneak away like that with that kind of comment. My memory's bad.
But left field, yeah, he's okay. I mean, there's a couple, and they've got Morimoto on the farm team, and he could play really well. So it's basically they're choosing somebody who doesn't hit with a glove, as opposed to somebody who probably can hit with no glove. Anyway,
yeah.
So what this whole all reminds me, that's one part of the puzzle, is why they're not playing Alex Ramirez. And here's the thing. Now, I saw this happening several years ago with the Yakult Swallows, and we've talked about it in the past. When Shigeru Takada was the manager of the Swallows,
right,
he came in with a mandate to develop the young pitchers. So yet they had a host of young pitchers, Yuhei Takai and Yoshinori Sato, and Tateyama was still under 26, and they had Kawashima, and they had Muranaka, and they had the guy Kato, and so on. They had about 7 or 8 young pitchers. And so basically what Takada did was try to do what he did with the Fighters, was basically get rid of everybody who couldn't play good defense,
mm-hmm.
and everybody who was an ordinary player who was over the age of 30, send him to his gulag in Tota, Saitama Prefecture.
Okay.
So they had Kazuhiro Hatakeyama, who couldn't really play catch the ball, but he could hit the cover off the ball. You know, he couldn't catch it, but he could sure hit it.
Right.
And he just left them out there to rot, him and Dickie Gonzalez and basically anybody else who could play who was over the age of 30. So basically what happened is the team fell in the toilet and Takata quit. Well, now Takata is the general manager of the BayStars. And this sounds a little bit like what's going on with the base, you know, what happened with the Swallows is that on the other hand, so anyway, that's one possibility. The other possibility is this, is that the BayStars are really worried about their pitching. And for good reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think if I was worried about their pitching, it makes sense to put a really good defense. You know.
Well, the best, I don't know that they're capable of putting a really good defense out there, but the best that they have, you know, on their roster.
Well, I think the idea is to get their better defense on the field, to get the pitchers used to, you know, the fact that every pitch they throw in the strike zone is not going to be a hit.
Right.
Having this worked with the fighters, the pitchers got better because they got used to throwing strikes and the guys catching the ball. Mm. So anyway, so that was the plan. It worked with the Swallows too. You got to give Takata credit for this team that Ogawa has since had success with because he had, you know, he got that pitching staff and the defense really up to championship caliber. Mm-hmm. So he failed everywhere else and with the team morale.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so that part makes sense. But here's the other one is Norihiro Nakamura. Now, he's another old guy. And all of a sudden, he's platooning at third base with who? With Yoshitomo Tsutsugo.
All right. Well, yeah, that's the thing is Alex touched on the pitching staff right away.
Mm-hmm.
It was no surprise to me, and I think he was being nice in saying that sometimes they don't pitch very well. I mean, the truth is, it's a Forrest Gump pitching staff. And what I mean by that is, remember the famous line in the movie, life is like a box of chocolates? You never know what you're going to get? That's what's happening with the Yokohama pitching staff. I think the difference is, sometimes when you open that box, you don't want what's in it. You don't want what's in it at all. And not like you don't know what you're going to get. You just want to throw the box away. So,
Frog, baby.
And, you know, he said, you know, we've got three guys who are basically in the rotation. And then we have three guys who keep coming up and down. And I talked to the beat writer for the Yomiuri Shimbun who's covering the Yokohama Bay Stars. And he said, yeah, the guy that they're really, really most disappointed in is Kuniyoshi, Hamano.
Your breakthrough guy.
Yeah, my breakthrough guy from last year, he called himself Hamano Darvish, the Darvish of Yokohama, and he's been the doily of Yokohama. I mean, he's not pitching well. He had a bad back. For
he's
a while,
a big guy, so that's that's understandable.
And then he just hasn't pitched well on the farm, and they really thought they would be able to count on him this season. I did too. And he's not there. Mishima has come up and done well for him, but he's still a young guy. You don't really know.
I really like Mishima. He's having a rough spot now, but he throws the ball well.
Yeah.
You know, he's got some real good stuff and he knows what he's doing. Yeah. Right now he's having trouble sometimes with his command and people are making adjustments against him, and
that
he
too.
Needs to work on it a little bit. But I think he's going to be really, really good.
Yeah. So as far as Alex being traded and everything, you know, I also heard while I was out there from a couple of sources that there was also talk of a Hideaki Wakui trade.
Yokohama High School boy.
Yeah, not necessarily for Alex Ramirez, but I think the talk, because I also heard that the talk was about Alex being traded to Cebu as well, that there was a possibility back even before the Lotte trade rumors came up. But the Hideaki Wakui for Shun Yamaguchi trade was also in the talks, but the Lions...
I would trade those too.
Well, it'd be a change of scenery trade for both guys. They haven't been effective. Perhaps a change of scenery would have helped them be effective. But in the end, Yokohama really didn't want Wakui and Seiwa really didn't want Yamaguchi.
Well, I think it's a case of I wouldn't want Wakui if he had a price tag on him. You know, if he cost you, if he cost you anything,
I don't know.
Yeah,
free.
Yeah, I might pay $1,000 for him or something, but I wouldn't give him. Well, you know, Shotaro Ito, he's not doing anything right now. Send him to Cebu, but I wouldn't want him for that bad. And the Lions can't send their ace pitcher, you know, for a bucket of balls.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Alex talked about the fact that a possibility of him going to Lotte would only be for two or three months. And that sounded to me like he was saying that he probably wouldn't stay there. He might leave. And maybe it's possible he would come back.
Certainly until the end of this contract, yeah?
Because yeah.
It's final year.
And, well, he has a player option for next year. So
in other words, so nobody wants that. Nobody wants to pay him not to play.
Yeah. Well, I heard he was basically on the bench because he's not even able to play defense well, but that's been the case for a while. They knew that he couldn't play great defense when they brought him in.
Right.
And I remember at the end of Alonzo Powell's great career with the Dragons, he said angrily when he got yanked late in games, sixth, seventh innings. Well, not necessarily the sixth inning, but unless they had
a big lead. But he was still hitting the ball right at people.
He was hitting the ball hard. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. That he said angrily, he said, what am I going to kick the ball over the fence? I mean, how bad can he be defensively that they can't
Indeed.
Put him out there?
Indeed.
And so, yeah, I don't get that part, but yeah, you talked about the fact that they want to get a really good defense out there. What is a good defense for them in terms of,
on the other hand, they have Kinjo out there, and he's not a good outfielder either. So, although Ide's played in center.
Well, the thing about Kinjo
is Matsumoto's pretty good. So those two are decent gloves in left.
Yeah, the thing about Kinjo is he looks like he's a good defender because he's always hustling. He does hustle.
Right, and he's taken off a lot of weight 2 years ago, and he's kept it off.
Yep.
But anyway, that's one point. You know, that's the side to the story. The other side of the story is that Alex was not producing what the, you know, other guys were losing their jobs. Basically, everybody has lost their job in left field because one could say, in all fairness, although there's some element of stupidity involved here, and not on my part this time.
Oh.
One could say in all fairness that everybody they have thrown out into left field has lost their job because they haven't played well. Okay. However, here's the difference. The difference is you have people playing poorly who are playing poorly because that is the level at which they play. Alex is, you know, unless Alex spent the entire off season testing, retesting, and resampling every menu on the item at the Remy Chan Cafe several times a day and admitted exercise, there's no way he's not going to hit 265, 270 in that park. Just give him enough at bats.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. He was a good player playing poorly, whereas you have average players doing the best they can.
Who would get hot temporarily and then they would fail to catch up with the adjustments. Since this is one thing you don't have to worry about Alex Ramirez because, you know, his bat's not as quick as it was a few years ago, but you know, he knows what he's doing. This guy knows what he's doing. Yeah. Okay. So there's that theory. And here's the thing about Nakamura, and this is why I thought the whole thing was kind of funny. Now, I like Yoshitomo Tsutsugo, but here's the thing. He's a guy with a lot of potential, and I don't mean that in a bad way. This guy has the tools to be a very good hitter, but he has not proven himself. And when John and I talk to about players who have proven themselves, we talk about different things. And I'm not saying this because he's a 220 hitter in the Central League. He hasn't done anything in the minor leagues to make you think he can hit. He's basically had three full seasons in which he hasn't hit.
Yeah, he's had explosions, and then he's flatlined, and then
he did have a small injury issue at one point, but the point is, you know, this guy needs a good solid coaching. And he needs lots of playing time. Now, if you want to say, now, if that's your goal, you don't platoon him. You say, this guy's going to, you know, we want to coach this guy. We think he's good enough and he's mentally stable enough and mature enough to handle frustration and failure at this level that we want him to learn the game here.
Yeah.
Or you send him back to the farm team, you get him a good coach, and you have him play as many games, you know, you have him playing every day if it means, you know, setting up a scratch game against Bob's economic studies college or something, you know, School of Algebra.
Right.
But so that's, but having him platoon with Nakamura, who's having a wonderful season, who had a pretty good year last year.
He's doing great.
And he's tremendous. He's, it's a joke. It's a joke. If you're taking Rami-chan out of the lineup because he's not hitting, and then you're giving it to Tsutsugo because you like what he might do 4 years from now, man, get, you know, clean out your helmets. There's some weird stuff in there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the last thing before we move on, because we do have to move on, I like what he said about the no-hitter when he goes up in the ninth inning in a pinch-hitting role. The score is 9-0. His team is losing. He's not looking to break up the game with a hit. And, you know, I've heard these guys talk about, well, you know, you break up a no-hitter any way you can. If you have to bunt and get on, you get on and do it. But
don't ask Bob Brenly about that.
Yeah. But in a 9-0 game, I guess there's nothing to do but to try to hit the ball hard and try to get on the board. And if he doesn't hit a home run, if he gets a double or something, he's in position to possibly score on a hit or get a pinch runner, obviously, would come on for him. But they could score. They could break up the no-hitter. They could break up the shutout and all that stuff. I know that if my team was playing, I wouldn't want my team to be no-hit. But I'm not sure that I'd want a guy going up there in the ninth inning of a 9-0 game trying to hit a home run either. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I would be conflicted, but I think he has his plan, and
exactly.
he wasn't gonna alter his plan, and I gotta respect that. The likelihood of them winning the game was about zero, but
right.
Yeah.
But he gave it a really good shot, and
he did.
I like that, and it was dramatic.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, it was a little drama in a game that, well, it didn't need any drama from the Dragons side. From the Bay Stars, it was sorely lacking in drama if it weren't for their left fielder, you know, sort of phasing out on one play.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
You know,
this good.
Game is about fun. Ask Nigel Morgan. He'll tell you this game's about, you know, playing hard and having fun.
That's right. So for our non-Japanese speaking listeners, Rami-chan said otsukare sama deshita to him, which basically means good job to him. And just like you said last week's show, Jim, you said the Bay Stars were probably happy for him, and I think he kind of expressed that kind of attitude. Hey, he did a good job. Good for him.
Yeah. Well, everybody's, you know, there was a great comment, which we'll get to in a second, but essentially people were talking about were talking with Vladimir Valentin, because the Swallows were in Yokohama this week, and his home run race with Tony Blanco. You know, he's passed Tony Blanco, and he says, look, you know, there's not a lot of foreigners in Japan, and we're friendly, and we respect each other. He said, but, you know, we get on the team, you know, and I'm happy when they succeed, but when we get on the field, it's a game and we compete. So, you know, you compete, and then when the game's over, you say, you know, you tip your hat and say congratulations.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I like the way they compete. All right. Thanks again, Alex, and good luck to the Bay Stars. Hope they can stay out of last place this year. I picked them to do so. I'm rooting for them to do so. So let's see how they do.
Well, they're what, two games out of third place now?
Yeah, everybody's bunched together like an accordion right now. Somebody smashed the accordion in together, and they haven't pulled it apart yet. So,
accordion. They're doing the Central League polka.
Let's move on to talk about the All-Star selections now. Do you think there are any guys who are deserving who didn't make either squad? I have a quick list that I'll go through real quick.
Do I? Sure.
I have, in the Pacific League, I have Casey McGee.
Yep.
I think he should have been on the team. I think he should have been voted in, first of all. And then when he wasn't voted in by the fans, I think his peers should have gotten him in there. And he didn't. And, you know, again, I don't want to be a party pooper, because I think Shohei Ohtani is really, he's fun. And I understand, just like in the United States with the Yasuo Puig talk that he's a rookie who's making a lot of he's making a lot of people turn the TV on and watch those games, and he's creating a lot of excitement. I appreciate that. I just don't think he's an all-star, but if they want to see him, that's fine. But a guy like McGee, who has been doing well from the start, has been very consistent. I think you got to reward that. Also, Michelle Abreu of the Fighters, I think he was leading in home runs for a while. Especially when they were doing the voting, and he didn't get chosen, and his own manager didn't put him in the game. I heard, though, that he had some kind of injury, and I think they didn't want to risk putting him in the game for some injury, but I don't know if that's just some talk to hide stuff or if it's actual truth.
Well, I'm with you, and I'm gonna save all my weird picks for my vitriol. I got a little extra vitriol. I don't have to save it.
Weird picks.
I got a whole can today, baby. It was on sale. Here's the vitriol, guys. The Pacific League has, there's six regular third basemen in the Pacific League, ostensibly. Fighters are a little weak because Coyano has been hurt a lot. Okay. Eiichi Coyano, great third baseman. Not this year. Okay, so anyway. The guys who are leading in OPS, the third baseman who are leading in OPS are Aaron Baldiris of Oryx, then Casey McGee of Rakuten, then Esteban Hermann of Cebu.
Hitting great all year.
And then two guys that aren't. Nobuhiro Matsuda of the Hawks and Toshiaki Imai of the Marines.
Yeah,
real. Okay. What's with this? Why did they pick Koyano? So all the Japanese guys could get in. I mean, if you're going to do it that way.
Yeah, just round it out.
Pick a central leaguer on the team. They're not all the Japanese central league third basemen aren't on the team. So find, there's got to be another one lying around who isn't a foreigner.
Yeah, Hermann, I think he's been hitting so efficiently and so consistently all season long. It's kind of easy to overlook him because he doesn't hit with a lot of power, but yeah, he's right there as well. I'd pick him over Baldiris.
Baldiris has been lead. He was actually at the time of the voting, I think the day before the voting, he was leading the league in RBIs.
Yeah.
He's close to the top of the league in a number of categories.
Even though the Buffalo fans
in the batting race. So, I mean, these are really,
yeah, outstanding performances we're seeing here.
Okay. Now, however, that being said, I think Matsuda is a great player, and he had a poor start. Does he deserve to be on the All-Star team? Yeah, why not? He's a very good player. Otherwise, it's just sort of like, I think last year, Akiyama didn't put any foreigners on the team. I don't think there were any foreigners on the Pacific League team.
I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think somebody made it later on. Maybe it was, but these guys are never going to be the plus one pick either.
Well, never. Yeah, they need about a plus 10 or so. They need about a plus 50 to get some of the foreigners on the team. Wait, there's not enough people on the vote. Anyway, and the plus one doesn't even get started, babe. Anyway, it's a free for all. I don't know what. Choose the grain of sand on the beach.
Yeah. Okay. In the Central League, for me, it was Jose Lopez, anyone?
Well, he's hurt right now. So.
He's hurt right now, but during the voting and everything, he was fine. I think he has an oblique problem. So, and then Cam Michelio, actually, he's got a lot of saves, but his ERA was under 2. And he's got numbers to get in. If he were a Japanese guy and popular with a nickname or something, he probably would have gotten in.
Yeah, he needs a nickname. That's probably, we gotta give him a nickname.
Alright,
everyone will know.
We'll think of that. I think Anthony in Australia is probably really familiar with the Hiroshima Carp. He can come up with a really good nickname for him, so okay. We'll leave it to him.
Cam the Saving Man.
Ow. But when I started to sit down and do this, I thought, now here's a reason why the Pacific League is beating up on the Central League a lot, because they have a lot more polished players. Because when I was looking overall at the rosters and trying to figure out who was left off, I could find a lot more Pacific League teams than I could Central League teams.
Yeah. And that was even after the players had to, you know, pick up and find the, you know, dig the third baseman out of the leftovers from the fan voting, you know, the cuttings left on the floor. Oh, here's Hector Luna. Don't forget about him.
Oh, I found one.
There's a good player on the floor. What's he doing? Specifically, they were going like,
What's that? Yeah. All right. So we're going to have to move on now. We're running out of time here. We wanted to talk about the home run and the batting title race. T60, I don't know if we can call him that anymore. We might have to call him T50. Tony Blanco has slowed down considerably with the Yokohama Bay Stars. But in the meantime, Coco Ballantyne has just been – he's been hot from the first swing, I think. He came back from that
– Yeah, he took about – I think he took about five at-bats
before he hit his
first home run. So, and now he's got 60 – hold on.
He's on pace.
He's on pace. He's got pace, man. That means he's fast.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. His home run chase has got pace. And right now his projection is for 61 home runs this season. That's provided he plays out every game of the season, which is possible. He missed 12 to start with, and that would put him about norm for him.
Right. He had a late start because he had a bad groin from the World Baseball Classic. With the Netherlands, their run to the semifinals. So, yeah, the thing that I like about him right now is he looks like he's just going up there. He's looking to swing and do serious damage with every swing because his team's in last place. And what's he got to lose?
Well, he said another thing. And I asked, do you care about the new ball? And he says, not really. It doesn't matter to him. Well, in a sense, it doesn't matter to him because everybody has to play with the same ball. You know, he led the league. He hit 31 home runs in, I'm going to say, 120 games in his first year. And then he hit 31 home runs when the ball was deader in his second year in about 100 games.
Yeah.
So does he, you know, he's going to lead the league. He's probably going to lead the league. If Tony Blanco is still in Nagoya, then no way he's not going to lead the league.
Yeah.
But does it matter to him? And I think the answer is yes, because it changes. He said that with the old ball, you sometimes try so hard that you try to put too much on the swing, you get too tight, you start to swing slower, and you start thinking too much.
Yeah.
He said, and that's right now is no problem. You know, you stay on your swing. The ball goes when the ball goes.
Yeah, he's really taking some hearty swings. I still think it's going to be a great race because both these guys hit in homer friendly parks.
Sure.
And I think Blanco doesn't have to hit all of the ball to get it out of any park anyway, and he can pop some fly balls out of Yokohama. So I still think it's going to be close, but I guess we're going to have to shift over to calling him Coco 60 or something like that and take away the T60 nickname for a while and see if Tony can come back, round back into form before or sometime after the All-Star break maybe. I hope he breaks out of this little slump he was in.
Okay, now how about this Central League batting race? We've got for the batting average, we've got Hector Luna of Chunichi, Matt Merton, and Tony Blanco.
Yeah, now, he's still up there.
There's two guys. It's like, it's one of these kids' puzzles. What's wrong with this picture?
That's right. Who doesn't? One of these things is not like the other.
Well, we've got two things that ain't like the other. One of those guys is the batting champion, and two of them ain't.
Well, Hector, I guess these are games as of Saturday's games. I didn't check after Sunday's games, but at 368. And
right.
Matt Merton at 339 and Tony Blanco at 326. So, yeah, I would bet on Matt Merton to make another run, and I'd bet that Luna would fall back toward the pack a little bit more. I don't know, especially with his team losing frustrating game after frustrating game, it's hard to keep your concentration, and there's going to be a lot of pressure when he comes up to get hits and produce. So, with Tony, I think he's just going to swing for the fence all the time. I don't think he has to make any adjustments to his swing. I mean, he swings hard. Yeah.
He swings hard. Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah. And I don't know. He's such a level-headed guy. And yeah, you know, when he was really red hot, he was getting into that, I can hit a home run on any pitch. You know, on any pitch, on any count, whether I'm looking curveball, fastball, forkball in the dirt, I'm going to hit it and put it in the seats. He was getting into that little room, and he had to, you know, get snap out of it, and he went into another little burst. So he doesn't need anything extra to put the ball in the seats. Nope. So I agree with you there. Average hitting is really not his thing, but, you know, it's not Hector Luna's thing either.
Yeah, but I again, we talked, and when I did the story on him, I had the fortune to talk to one of the coaches and the batting coaches with the Dragons, and they said, look, he's hitting balls up in the zone, he's hitting balls low, he's hitting balls inside and outside. So he's covering all parts of the plate. It's hard to get things by him. He's not striking out. So I don't really see him slowing down. What I do see slowing down is people offering him or throwing him pitches in the zone in the second half that allow him to get good swings, because I think if the Dragons start to fall out, if they start to drop more than, 15 games or something below 500, I think it's going to be frustrating for him and for the team, and they're going to lose that little pop. Whereas Matt Merton's got to produce, but he's producing on a team that's probably going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, against Blanco, I don't think he has to change anything, because he just has to go up there and be a power hitter. So if anybody's going to change, it's going to be Luna if he's going to do something different. And if he does something different, that might lead to him changing his approach, and that could lead to we don't know, obviously, mm-hmm. but it could lead to him dropping in the batting race.
Well, I think just to mention in the Pacific League, we have Esteban Hermann is third in the Pacific League race. So we got a lot of foreigners up there this year, which is not, you know, the old days, the foreigners were there, shut up and hit home runs. Now it's a little different game.
Yeah, different. Yeah, good. All right. Lastly, before we get to our listener question, wanted to talk about Masahiro Tanaka of the Eagles. I posed on the Facebook page the other day, the question, do you think he will get to 20 wins this season? He has won 11 consecutive decisions to start the season. I'm glad that he has done this. He hasn't lost since August of last year when he lost to Pete Bonham. He's won 15 consecutive decisions dating back to last season. So the other day, the team had its highest hit total since its inception. It had 22 hits in a win over the Lions. And the reason that I think that's important is because he can win games if they're scoring runs, for sure. He has pitched for a long time on a team that struggled to score.
Mm-hmm.
And the offensive aspect of this team bodes well for him trying to win a bunch of games. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think the offensive aspect was a different combination of syllables there.
Yeah.
In the past, it was pretty lame. But now I'll tell you, the offense is clicking. He's certainly clicking. He's got a couple of different games. This is a guy who, when he's on, he still probably has the best. I would say he still probably has the best pitch in Japan. Although people say because of his command that Kenta Maeda, the Carp, has a better slider. But Masahiro Tanaka's slider is still probably the most dangerous pitch in Japan to any hitter trying to hit it when you know it's coming.
Yep, I agree
with you. He's also become a pitcher who can pitch, who can win when and get good results when the slider ain't working, his fastball so-and-so. He's become very knowledgeable, very, confident. That he can get the job done, that he can find a solution. He never panics. This is a different player. So he's very mature. Could he win 20? Now here's the thing. He's got 11 wins and in essentially half the season.
Mm-hmm.
Basically to win 20, he's going to have to go, you know, at least 9-3, 9-4. That's really hard, but I guess he could do it, you know, if he gets a decision in every game.
Yeah, he's got 14 starts as of Sunday.
Right.
So 9-3, yeah.
He'll get 15 more, you know, he'll get 14 more starts and he's going to have to win 9 of them. So 9-5, this is the worst record he can have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible.
And he won, he and, He and Atsushi Nomi were the back-to-back pitchers of the month. No big surprise there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, moving on.
Okay. All right, let's go to fielding questions. This is Kozo in Tokyo.
This is Kozo of TokyoSwallows.com. The Swallows' recent rash of injuries and the extended rehab of players like Yoshinori and Shingo Kawabata has got me wondering about the state of medical care in Japanese baseball. More specifically, how much control does a team have over a player's rehab? Do they control which doctors the player will see and which procedure a player will undergo? Does the quality of care vary from team to team, or is it like the States where money talks and a small number of doctors, like a James Andrews, end up performing all the major procedures, regardless of which team the player plays for?
Okay, well, Kozo, just as it happened to be, I talked to the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks conditioning coach, Atsushi Torida, and he told me, oddly enough, he told me that in things, basically, it's not as sophisticated as in the States, where they each team in every organization has a list of specialists to go for. You know, if the guy's got a hangnail, they go to this guy. If he's got a blemish on his right elbow, he goes to this guy. You know, it's all bodies mapped out. In Japan, it's much more generalized. I mean, they have specialists, but it's a little bit more of the trainer talks to the manager and the player, and they sort of do what's obvious.
Okay. I talked to a couple of players and I talked to a bunch of reporters, and no one came up with a consistent name of a doctor who was well respected or a particular authority on anything in particular. And I think that's a reflection of the society, because, you know, if you've been into an elementary or a junior high school gym here in Japan, you've seen one, you've seen them all. I think basically all the doctors are similar in that if you go to one, you're going to a guy who went to the same school and studied the same thing maybe a couple, 3 years before or something like that. So,
well, there is one doctor.
Yeah, there was one,
there's
a knee
one
specialist.
Famous doctor.
Yeah.
Well, there's the guy who does Tommy John surgery in Japan.
Okay.
In Gunma Prefecture.
Okay.
I don't know his name, but okay. He's the one who does all the or at least his clinic does all the Tommy John surgeries in Japan. So,
okay. Yeah, and I found the question interesting because if you remember last year when Michael Westbay, who does the Pro Yaku Report podcast, when he was on as a guest host, he said that he was surprised that Chris Carter of the Lions had his procedures done here in Japan on his knees, because a lot of imports usually go back to the States to have those surgeries done. And
yep.
And, you know, you've got Dr. Frank Jobe, the late Dr. Frank Jobe, as I remember correctly, right? And Dr. James Andrews over there in the States. But in particular, I guess the whole, like I said, there was no consistent name that came up. Basically, there's just doctors who have learned under one particular person, and they basically all do the same thing, except for this doctor you're telling us out in Gunma. I didn't hear about him. I didn't hear where he was. I heard there was a knee specialist, but nobody was really even.
I didn't know there was a guy who did Tommy John surgery. I didn't even know they did it in Japan, but this clinic in Gunma does them all.
Okay. All right. So, wow. Well, thank you for the question. I learned something.
Yeah,
something new.
Don't stop now, John. Don't stop learning, babe.
I thought this day was done. I thought there was nothing left to learn. It's late at night.
Teacher, my brain is full.
Yeah, what do you do for that?
Well, I have two thimblefuls, and I'm done.
All right.
Economy model, babe.
Okay, well, that signals the fact that there are no more questions and that we probably need some more. So please send your questions to yakyuhn@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page. And I'm hoping that we get some lineups before the All-Star game. Put some lineups on the Facebook page. Let us know who you'd like to see starting in the game, at least game one, because there's three games. We know that Tatsunori Hara, who's going to be the manager for the Central League, is going to start a slew of rookie pitchers in game two, he said. So we know basically they're going to be starting in game two. Other than that, try to guess and see where people are starting. And we're going to be coming up on the All-Star game pretty – it's going to be a hot one, I think. It was really hot today. I think it's going to get really hot. They talked about on the news the fact that it's going to be hotter. So I think we're going to be cooking in Jingu on July 20th.
Yeah, that's my buddy was out at Cebu Dome today, and he was so happy to get out of there. One, because it was Lions won, so that's always good for him,
yeah.
Lions fan. And the other because it was, you know, they were They were baking potatoes in that place, yeah. Steaming them.
All right. Well, stay cool, everyone, and have a good week. Enjoy your baseball.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.